Thank you, Landon. Appreciate you reading the word to us this morning. I guess we're starting to sing, okay? If you want to stand and please do, Susie, hit the button. Jonathan's in Kentucky.
I will enter his gates with thanksgiving in my heart. I will enter his courts with praise. I will say this is the day that the Lord has made. I will rejoice, for he has made me glad. He has made me glad, oh, he has made me glad. I will rejoice, for he has made me glad. He has made me glad, oh, he has made me glad. I will rejoice, for he has made me glad. I will enter his gates with thanksgiving in my heart. I will enter his courts with praise. I will say this is the day that the Lord has made. I will rejoice, for he has made me glad. He has made me glad, oh, he has made me glad. I will rejoice, for he has made me glad. He has made me glad, oh, he has made me glad. I will rejoice, for he has made me glad. He has made me glad, oh, he has made me glad. I will rejoice, for he has made me glad. He has made me glad, oh, he has made me glad. I will rejoice, for he has made me glad. I will enter his gates with thanksgiving in my heart. I will enter his courts with praise. I will say this is the day that the Lord has made. I will rejoice, for he has made me glad. He has made me glad, oh, he has made me glad. I will rejoice, for he has made me glad. He has made me glad, oh, he has made me glad. I will rejoice, 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 for he has made me glad.
Another good song, God Will Make a Way.
God will make a way where there seems to be no way. He works in ways we cannot see. He will make a way for me. He will be my guide. Hold me closely to his side. With love and strength for each new day, he will make a way. He will make a way. There seems to be no way. He works in ways we cannot see. He will make a way for me. He will be my guide. Hold me closely to his side. With love and strength for each new day, he will make a way. He will make a way.
side in the wilderness you lead me. Rivers in the desert will I see. Heaven and earth will fade, but his word will still remain. And he will do something new today. God will make a way where there seems to be no way. He works in ways we cannot see. He will make a way for me. He will be my God. Hold me closely to his side. Love and strength for each new day. He will make a way. He will make a way. By a roadside in the wilderness you lead me. Rivers in the desert will I see. Heaven and earth will fade, but his word will still remain, and he will do something new today. God will make a way where there seems to be no way. He works in ways we cannot see. He will make away for me. He will be my guide. Hold me closely to his side. With love and strength for each new day, he will make a way. With love and strength for each new day, he will make a way. He will make a way.
Amen. Let the river flow.
The poor man say, I am rich in him. Let the lost man say, I am found in him. And let the river flow. Let the blind man say, I can see again. Let the dead man say, I am born again. And let the river flow. Let the river flow. Lost man say, I am found in him. And let the river flow. Let the blind man say, I can see again. Let the dead man say, I am born again.
the river flow. Let the river flow. Let the river flow. Let the river flow.
Thank you. So have you ever had a person or a pet that stuck right next to you and you felt like you were inseparable? Well, in nature, this does happen quite a bit. But actually, for this case, we're going to talk about two particular organisms, a really special relationship they have. And I titled this communion meditation, I called it Jesus Infusing with Us. And before I go on, I'd like to thank Mr. Warren Maddox for this subject, because some of you might have not known, a few weeks ago when we did the church cleanup behind the windowsill here, Warren found a spotted salamander. And salamanders are, yes, they are common in Ohio, but this part of Ohio, since we're mainly, you know, open agricultural area, it's not as common to find them there. So I was really, really excited. Warren could tell you how excited I was to find that spotted salamander. But what's really interesting about this particular species, it is the only vertebrate here on planet Earth that has a symbiosis relationship with a plant. Now, kind of keep this in the back of your mind, because I do have to explain a few things in order for the topic to make sense. And if you're not familiar with symbiosis relationship, if you remember in school, and I know some of you, school was a long time ago, but it just basically means a relationship or a unique relationship with particular species. So during the breeding season, the spotted salamander will travel up to a half a mile to a fernal pool. And a fernal pool is just a temporary wetland. So once she will lay her fertilized eggs, the baby salamanders will have to stay in this fernal pool for almost 2 months. The problem with the fernal pools is, since they are temporary, they don't hold a lot of dissolved oxygen. And the other problem with this special pool is a lot of other kinds of organisms will lay their young in there, such as other species of salamanders, frogs, and macroinvertebrates. They're all trying to consume this dissolved oxygen from the water so that they can metamorphosize into their adult forms. Now, I know you're probably all familiar with, when you're looking at water, you see that green stuff growing on top. That's algae, that green gooey stuff. Even in a temporary pool, such as the fernal pool, yes, it will grow in there as well. But what scientists have actually found out well over 100 years ago, that sometimes on just only the spotted salamander egg, that the algae will grow on the egg. But as science actually progressed on, we actually found out over time that the algae doesn't grow just on the egg. It actually infuses inside the salamander egg. The idea is they have a mutualistic relationship, meaning both organisms benefit from one another. The idea is the algae is providing oxygen to the salamander tadpole. And as the tadpole excretes their waste, it will release nitrogen, which helps benefit the algae's growth. This is very important for spotted salamanders, because since oxygen is very scarce in that fernal pool. But recently, scientists have found out that as that algae is actually infusing in the egg, they think that algae is actually stressed out. Because if you think about it, if any of you ever seen frog or salamander eggs, no, it doesn't look like a chicken egg. It actually looks like a jelly. That thick jelly layer basically cuts off the sunlight, which that plant needs in order to survive. Scientists really still don't understand this unique relationship and don't know if they should classify this relationship to be something entirely different. So as I was making this communion meditation, I was thinking that our world is like the fernal pool. It gives us temporary life, but it cannot sustain us. And we are like the spotted salamander, wandering around in this vast and empty world. We try to fill in the void with things like money, fame, power, etc. But the more we keep doing that, we just drift us further away from God. But then Jesus came along, and he wants to be our main life support. And as he died on the cross to cover our sins, he wants to establish a relationship with us so that we may spend eternity up with him in heaven. Jesus is like the algae. He wants to infuse into our hearts and support us in this dark world. But problem is we let too many life circumstances dictate on accepting Jesus into our lives, such as guilt and shame, etc. But that's why we gather here today. As we partake in communion, these symbols remind us that Jesus is always there for us and wants to be in our lives, even though we think we shouldn't deserve his grace and mercy. But just as Jesus is like the algae benefiting us from not spending eternity in darkness, we too must help Jesus and help benefit him by listening to God the Father's command and to bear much fruit and to making disciples. It says in Romans chapter 5, verse 8, but God shows his love for us, and while we are still sinners, Christ died for us. Let us pray. Dear Heavenly Father, thank you for this great and wonderful day you have provided for us. And Lord, I know you have made many, many unique things in this world, from animals and plants and all kinds of things. But Lord, thank you for creating such a unique relationship, like as we just talked about with the salamander and the algae. But Lord, let us take this time to just remember that what your Son did on the cross to cover our sins. And as I mentioned before, I know a lot of us have a hard time accepting what you did on the cross. We try to block it off because we think we're not worthy. We have guilt. We have shame. The list can just go on and on. But Lord, you still love us, and you still want to infuse into our hearts and be with us. And Lord, I just thank you for that. And we just love you and praise you. We pray this in your Son, Jesus, and we pray. Amen.
song I'm going to sing this morning is from Chris Tomlin called I Lift Up My Hands. Be still, there is a healer. His love is deeper than the sea. His mercy, it's unfailing. His arms are fortress for the weak. Let faith arise. Let faith arise. I lift my hand to believe again. You are my refuge, you are my strength. As I pour out my heart, these things I remember. You are faithful, God, forever. Be still, there is a river that flows from Calvary's tree, a fountain for the thirsty, your grace that washes over me. Let faith arise, let faith arise. You are my refuge, you are my strength. As I pour out my heart, these things I remember. You are faithful, God, forever. I lift my hands to believe again. You are my refuge, you are my strength. As I pour out my heart, these things I remember. You are faithful, God, forever. Let faith arise, let faith arise. Open my eyes, open my eyes. Let faith arise, let faith arise. You are my refuge, you are my strength. As I pour out my heart, these things I remember. You are faithful, God, forever. I lift my hands to believe again. You are my refuge, you are my strength. As I pour out my heart, these things I remember. You are faithful, God, faithful, God, forever. Let faith arise. Let faith arise.
All righty, the kids are welcome to head down to Junior Church if they want to. I believe Kendra is your teacher today. You'll want to do that today. Yesterday, I had the honor and the privilege of preaching Joe McKittrick's funeral service yesterday. It was a beautiful, beautiful service. It was there to not only honor and pay tribute to Joe, but to comfort people through Christ. And it was there, we were there to honor Joe's Savior in Jesus Christ. And this isn't the sermon I planned on preaching today, so I kind of changed it up about halfway, probably Wednesday, I switched what I was going to preach. Because I got to thinking, you know, not only do we need comfort in the face of death, God is there, and He gives us His Holy Spirit, and He's given us Jesus Christ as comfort for our everyday living. Not just in the face of death, but we face life circumstances every single day. And the world offers us many different ways to deal with those life circumstances. And the world offers many different choices in finding comfort. But some people find comfort in horribly destructive ways. They find comfort in alcohol, find comfort in sex and adultery. They find comfort in eating. They find comfort in spending and buying things just for the sake of filling a hole. And I want to just to remind us today, one of the reasons why Jesus Christ walked the face of the earth was to be our comfort in our daily living. Because we are human beings and we are going to make a lot of mistakes. And the people around us are going to make a lot of mistakes. And we are going to need comfort. We are going to need God's comfort in our workplaces, in our communities, in our homes. We live in an imperfect world and life just happens. Life situations happen. Things don't always go the way we think they're going to go or the way we want them to go. Families change. Families are broken sometimes. And we just need to hear a word from Jesus Christ. So, yes, I got to thinking about this in the face of death. Obviously, I was shocked, just like everybody else was, with the death of not just one of our church people, but Joe was a very dear, dear friend and a brother in Christ. And I just thought, you know, we as a people need to hear words of comfort more than just, like I said, in the face of death, but just in our everyday living. I'd like to read a chapter in Psalms. This is a Psalms 23. You've all heard it. It's a chapter that's read many, many times at funeral services. I purposely did not read this scripture yesterday at the funeral. I used other scripture because I wanted to use it today for you, Joe's church family, in comfort and celebration in Christ. I want to read it because I think Psalms 23, as much as it's used at funeral services, if you read it over and over again and where David's trying to pour his heart out to God, this is a cry out to God for everyday living, not just in the face of death. He is telling God, you are my shepherd, and I am a part of your flock, and I need you. I need your love. I need your guidance. I need your protection. I need your comfort in the face of everything I face in everyday living. So let's read this psalm and open your heart to God in the view of this is what God's speaking to me in my everyday life. Psalms 23, starting in verse 1, there's only six short verses. It says, "The Lord is my shepherd. I shall not be in want. He makes me lie down in green pastures. He leads me beside quiet waters. He restores my soul. He guides me in paths of righteousness for His name's sake. Even though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil, for You are with me. Your rod and Your staff, they comfort me. You prepare a table before me in the presence of my enemies. You anoint my head with oil. My cup overflows. Surely goodness and love will follow me all the days of my life, and I will dwell in the house of the Lord forever." Amen. What true words written by King David about his God. And this is centuries before Jesus walked the face of the earth. It is David's line that Jesus is going to come to the earth through. And here he is pouring his heart out to God. I need your comfort in the face of my enemies. Yeah, in the face of death. We all face death. We're all going to die someday. But in the face of everyday life, circumstances, the things that happen to us, the main idea here in the 23rd Psalm is that God shepherds his people just as sheep herders shepherd sheep, take care of sheep. That's the relationship that's being acknowledged here before God and before his throne with David. He's recognizing, God, you are the shepherd. I am just a mere sheep. I am a follower of yours that is directed, guided, and protected by you. Psalm 100, if you go at Psalm 100, verse 3 says, know that the Lord is God. It is he who made us, and we are his. We are his people, the sheep of his pasture. I think a lot of times we think we let God play in our pasture, play in our playground, play in our world, let him do what he wants in our world. That's not the case. This is God's world. Everything in it was made by him, through him, and for him, including you. And the relationship is not, no, you're telling God what to do on a regular basis. The relationship is God will guide you, direct you, protect you in your everyday life circumstances, and yes, even in the face of death at times. We know that comes to every individual and every family, but we as Christ followers have no need to fear any of that, including life circumstances that just happen and don't go our way or not the way we want them to. You see, the shepherd had many responsibilities to his sheep, and all these speak of God's provisions for his people. Over and over, God says, I will feed you, I will clothe you, I will guide you, I will give you everything you need to survive on planet Earth that I created for you, even in the midst of sin, an imperfect world now. I will provide and I will give you everything you need to have a relationship with me and to love me and to serve me and to be my people. The one thing I would like to focus on this morning as we're thinking about Christ's comfort is the shepherd's rod or his staff. When you picture a shepherd, you know what I'm talking about, the big long staff with the hook on the end. That's what we picture. We see it at our Christmas programs. We have a couple shepherds and they have their shepherd's staff or their rod. And you know, the shepherd's rod served many purposes. And this morning I'd like to examine really quickly how those things are demonstrated in the cross of Jesus Christ. You know, the shepherd had his own staff to take care of the sheep. Jesus is our great shepherd. And Jesus didn't walk through life with a shepherd's staff in his hand physically because his earthly occupation obviously was not herding sheep. It would have been silly for him to walk around with that. But Jesus replaced the shepherd's staff with a cross. And today we find comfort in the cross in our everyday lives. So the preaching of the cross is a comforting, reassuring message for the Christian and the sinner. This is for everybody. This message, this voice of comfort that's coming from David's heart in Psalm 23 is for everyone. For the sinner who has not yet been saved by the grace of Jesus Christ, and for the Christ follower who has already accepted God's forgiveness and grace. This is a message of comfort. And through the cross, if you're following along in the outline, I'm now on number one. Through the cross, first and foremost, the lost can be saved. You see, a lamb would get itself in a dangerous place at times. I say at times and many, many times. I didn't know a whole lot about sheep until I met Mary's grandfather who raised a lot of sheep. And I learned that sheep are pretty dumb animals, to say the very least. And they get in trouble a lot. Jessica's shaking her. I forgot Dean raised sheep. They're not very smart animals. And they get in trouble a lot on their own accord. And they find themselves in a dangerous place all the time. But the shepherd could use the crook of his staff to reach out and to lift, physically lift that sheep and pull him into safety. If that sheep wandered into a mud puddle, and that happens, that they can't get out of because they were dumb enough to just go, that shepherd could literally pull that sheep out physically with its staff. Jesus uses the cross to reach out and catches the sinners today, to catch you and I before we became understanding of his grace and his forgiveness. He reaches out and he catches the sinner, pulling sinners to himself. The place of safety, the place of comfort, the place of grace and forgiveness. Jesus used the cross at Calvary as the shepherd's tool. He is called our great shepherd. And he has used that cross to lift you out of the muck and the mire that you were in when you were caught up in your sin, full of guilt, destined to die for eternity. Jesus reached out through the cross, literally grabbed a hold of your spirit, and said, I have better for you. You don't have to experience death, eternal death, because I am with you and I will guide you. And boy, does he reach out that cross each and every day. Because none of us are perfect. But every time the gospel is shared with the sinner, Jesus is reaching out, attempting to save him. That's why it's so important for us to reach out to lost people. We are the voice, we are the eyes and ears of Jesus. We are the representation of Jesus here on earth. He gives us his Holy Spirit to speak when we need to speak. It is Jesus reaching out from the cross to reach lost people. And I preach it over and over and over again, to get out in the world and share the message of Jesus Christ with whoever God puts in front of you. For the fact that if the sinner spends eternity in hell, he will do so because he ignored the cross. At least give them the opportunity to see the cross, to see the grace and the saving power that it has. The sinner will blatantly have to push past it, take no thought to it, and not take any thought in its comforting promises and the warnings that they reject. So the only reason that a sheep wouldn't be saved is if it ran from the shepherd's tool, the staff. The only reason a sinner cannot be saved today if they run, completely reject the cross that is before them, that is being presented to them, a hand that is there to pull them out of the muck and the yuck of sin and guilt. Reminds me of the two thieves who were crucified on the cross next to Jesus. They were given the choice from the cross. Jesus gave them opportunity to be saved. One rejected the word of Jesus. One mocked him, denied who he was, made fun of him, saying, you know, he claims to be God. And look at here, he's going to die just with us. And then there was the other man, hung on a cross, heard the exact same message from Jesus, heard the same voice crying out to God, forgive them. They don't know what they're doing. He took a hold of the shepherd's rod from the cross. He acknowledged Jesus Christ as Lord and Savior. And he was saved. He was given the promise by Jesus himself. Today, you will be with me in paradise. He was saved at that point by the blood of Jesus Christ for crying out to him, his name. We just sang about that. What beautiful. There is power in the name of Jesus. So the sinner can find comfort in the cross that he can't find anywhere else. Like I said, the world's going to offer you many, many, many different opportunities to try to find comfort. And they're all, 100% of them are all very temporary. They may provide comfort for a very temporary period of time. And you will find yourself right back where you were before, hurting, aching, trying to fill a hole. But by embracing the cross's message, we can find peace in this life and the hope of eternal life. And through the cross, the sinner is reminded that God loves them. That is the biggest reminder, how much God loves you. Not only did he create you, he puts the cross right in front of you each and every day, and extends his hand of grace and forgiveness every day, whether we know we're sinning against God or we don't. Because I know there's a lot of intentional sin, and there's a lot of unintentional sin. And sometimes we're not even aware of our sin, but God puts that cross right there to reach out and to save those who need to be saved. But not only does the cross save, through the cross we have protection. Just like the staff and the rod of a shepherd, Christ uses the cross as our protection. You see, sheep were often a vulnerable target for hungry, wild animals. But the shepherd's staff provided protection for the helpless sheep. Today we'd probably use a shotgun or something like that, or a 22 rifle to protect our sheep. Some may use something bigger. But you know, Satan's like a wild animal, always looking for a meal. Scriptures describe him as that. He's like a hungry lion waiting to devour, seeking to devour someone. I've told you before, Satan does not care beans about you. He does not care about you. He does not want you. He does not desire you. He hates you because you bring honor and glory to the Father through your very life and the way you worship him, the way you serve him, the way you share the gospel message to other people. That's what he hates. And he will do everything in his power to lie to you, to deceive you, to distract you from bringing any glory, any honor to Jesus Christ and to the Father. So here we got this enemy, and he is a worthy enemy. And he is given free roam of the earth right now by God. We know he's a defeated enemy. We know he is already defeated. He will not win in the end, but he is able to roam the earth today. He is a worthy adversary that is only defeated by Jesus Christ and the power that Jesus possesses. 1 Peter chapter 5, verse 8 says, "Be alert and of sober mind. Your enemy, the devil, prowls around like a roaring lion, looking for someone to devour." You see, the cross provides the child of God protection from Satan. You want to be protected? And let me tell you, he doesn't attack anybody stronger than the newly converted, those who have just given their lives to Jesus Christ. Because you were sitting pretty before in his eyes. You were away from God. You weren't anywhere interested in worshiping him, serving him on a regular daily basis. You had no desire to even be in church, let alone worship with the church and serve with the church and love people with the church. You were right where he wanted you. Boy, the day you gave yourself to Jesus and you made him Lord and Savior of your life, boy, he had a target on your back. The cross provides the child of God protection from that. And we can't defeat Satan on our own, and we try sometimes. We try to say, well, I can get over this habit. I can get over this addiction. I can get over whatever I have. No, you can't. Not on your own. No more than a lamb could kill a grizzly bear on its own. But if we stay close to the cross of Jesus, our protection is guaranteed by God himself. I want to read Psalms chapter 91. If you're still in the book of Psalms, if you want to just turn over to chapter 91. I'm going to read the whole psalm. And it's kind of lengthy, but I want it to speak for itself, and I'm almost done with this point. And know this before I read it. There is comfort in knowing that no matter how much Satan rages against you, there is protection and there is safety in the cross of Jesus Christ. Psalms 91. "He who dwells in the shelter of the Most High will rest in the shadow of the Almighty. I will say of the Lord, he is my refuge and my fortress, my God in whom I trust. Surely he will save you from the fowler's snare and from the deadly pestilence. He will cover you with his feathers, and under his wings you will find refuge. His faithfulness will be your shield and rampart. You will not fear the terror of night, nor the arrow that flies by day, nor the pestilence that stalks in the darkness, nor the plague that destroys at midday. 1,000 may fall at your side, 10,000 at your right side, but it will not come near you. You will only observe with your eyes and see the punishment of the wicked. If you make the Most High your dwelling, even the Lord who is my refuge, then no harm will befall you. No disaster will come near your tent, for he will command his angels concerning you to guard you in all your ways. They will lift you up in their hands so that you will not strike your foot against a stone. You will tread upon the lion and the cobra. You will trample the great lion and the serpent. Because he loves me, says the Lord, I will rescue him. I will protect him, for he acknowledges my name. He will call upon me, and I will answer him. I will be with him in trouble. I will deliver him and honor him. With long life will I satisfy him and show him my salvation. Amen. Hallelujah. What a promise from God. You acknowledge me as Lord. You bow your head in worship to me. I will protect you. There is nothing on earth that can touch your spirit when you belong to me. He is the great shepherd. The loss of anything cannot tear you apart from Jesus Christ. The loss of a job, the loss of money, the loss of a loved one, the loss of anything that you have valued in life, none of that can separate you from your great shepherd Jesus. There is comfort in that. Knowing that we have an enemy that seeks to destroy you. And he does that in many ways. He does that, he tries to bring us down with depression and hurt and loss. And he tells us that we're not worth grace. We're not worth forgiveness. We're not worth this. We're not worth that. Those are, don't forget, he is the father of lies. There is no truth in him. I don't know why we listen to his voice. God says, I will protect you from that. I will give you a way out of temptation. I will get you a way out of your own sin. So through the cross, man, Jesus offers protection. Finally, through the cross, we find not just protection, but guidance and direction. God reaches out through the cross of Jesus to not just protect you and give you a life. He wants to guide you through that life and give you the right direction. In this world, you're going to have lots of decisions to make. And some of those decisions may seem to be impossible to make. Boy, does God make the impossible possible all the time. You see, sheep have a tendency to wander off. They're not good at going in the right direction. I've watched that over and over again as I've seen farmers raise sheep. You see, when this happens, the shepherd would reach out with his staff and guide it in the right direction. Even though that we may be saved, and many of you sitting in the pews here are saved by the blood of Jesus Christ, even though we're saved, we're still good at going in the wrong direction. As much as we try to obey God, as much as we want to please him, as much as we want to worship him, follow him, boy, do we mess it up sometimes and we just absolutely go in the wrong direction. Because of our opinions, because of our pride, because of whatever is in the way of listening to the voice of God, we just go the wrong way. And we need to be steered back in the right direction. And without paying careful attention, we will wander off and get ourselves lost or in trouble over and over and over again. Many times we face circumstances, life circumstances, where we are not sure what direction to go in. We just don't know where to go. But if we look to the cross, Jesus promises, I will direct your path. I promise I will direct your path. It's when we get our eyes off the cross that we get in trouble. When you start making decisions without even thinking about what direction Jesus would have you go, that's when we get in trouble. When we start going off on our own, we're lousy at directions. Hebrews 12:2 says, fixing our eyes on Jesus, the pioneer and perfecter of faith. I like that. The pioneer and perfecter of faith. For the joy set before him, he endured the cross, scorning its shame, and sat down at the right hand of the throne of God. See, before the compass was even invented, sailors used the stars and the constellations to guide them. And they primarily used the North Star to guide them in different directions. As long as they could see the stars, they could find their way. Jesus, he promises something different. He says, as long as you keep your eyes on me, you're going to go in the right direction. The whole world may be going that direction. You keep your eyes on me, Jesus says, and I will guide you in the right path. I will take you home. He says, I am the way, the truth, and the life. And nobody comes to the Father but through. You are not going to get to God by the way of the world. The only way to God is to keep your eyes on Him. Focused on Him. Follow what He would do. Watch what He did. Watch what He did when He walked the face of the earth. Watch how He loved people. Watch how He had every life circumstance handed to Him in the short life that He lived here on earth. Watch how He handled it. Watch what direction He went when He dealt with the life circumstances that you deal with. We may go through a lot of places in life that we've never been to before, that may be full of danger, but there is comfort in knowing that the cross will always lead us the right direction. Boy, did I have a decision I needed to make 12 years ago. I was changing ministries. I had no idea that Waterford, Ohio was even on the map. And boy, did I have places I wanted to go. But you keep your eyes on Jesus. And boy, for some reason, He sent me to this little neighborhood. I don't even call it a town. Little neighborhood. To preach the word to some pretty amazing people and followers of Christ. And I've even got a chance to bring a few to the throne of Jesus for the first time. Simply by not going my own way, but to watch and pay attention to the eyes of Jesus. And going where He calls you to go and doing what He's called you to do. Many of you experienced that. I would encourage you to keep it going daily. Not just when negative circumstances happen, but you follow Jesus in your everyday life. And boy, will you be given a life to live and to be able to live it to the fullest. There's a verse from the song Amazing Grace that I really like. I think it goes along with this. When the psalm says, you know, even when walking through death's dark valley, the cross is basically going to guide us to safety through it. There's this verse in Amazing Grace that says, through many dangers, toils, and snares, I have already come. 'Tis grace that brought me safe thus far, and grace will lead me home. It is Jesus' grace that's going to guide you and lead you home to eternity with your Creator forever. This morning in my invitation, just as David illustrated, he took comfort in God like a lamb takes comfort in a shepherd. We can take comfort in the cross this morning. Every Sunday we give you the opportunity, if you've just for the first time heard the voice of God calling out to you, that I have grace and forgiveness for you. I have life, life eternal for you. All you have to do is call on my name and you will be saved. All you have to do is be baptized in my baptism. I will start you brand new as a newborn baby, fresh, pure, guiltless, without sin. And you can walk the rest of your days here on earth fresh and new with Him and a new life with Jesus Christ. If that pertains to you, we invite you this morning. Come forward. Pray with me. Talk to your Jesus. Ask Him for that grace. Ask Him for that forgiveness today. And you too may be saved. For the rest of us who have already accepted that gift of grace, I just want to remind you, in the face of life circumstances, everyday circumstances, there is comfort in the cross of Jesus if we would just keep our eyes on Him. We're going to stand right now and we're going to sing It Is Well With My Soul. Pay attention to the words. For the Christian who follows Christ, no matter what life throws at you, you can look to God and say, You are my God, and whatever happens, it will be well with my soul. Let's sing and lift that up to God this morning.